we're going to move rather quickly through the book of Numbers. And so I'm not going to hit every verse. We're going to hit a lot of them. We're going to do four chapters tonight. That's as fast as we've moved in a long time. The title of our message tonight is Order in the Camp. Now, it's true that the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, it's called, they picture the Christian life. For example, in Genesis, the book of beginnings, we have our beginning in the world, and we are sort of like Abraham's strangers looking for our inheritance. In Exodus, where the children of Israel are released from their bondage to Egypt, pictures us coming out of our bondage to sin. And then in Leviticus, the book which is all about holiness, it pictures us as believers, as a nation of priests worshiping the Lord. And now the book of Numbers, which is all about the wanderings in the wilderness by the children of Israel, pictures the Christian's life of wandering. Not in the promises of God, all because of unbelief and disobedience. And at times we wake up in the midst of our wandering in the wilderness and realize and wonder, how did we get here? And then in Deuteronomy, which means the second law, God teaches the Israelites again, the second generation, and this time they believe God and they obey and they're allowed to go into the promised land. Sometimes we have to hear things twice. And then in Joshua, where they actually enter the land, pictures living in the promises of God, the place and the blessing that God has for us under our leader, Jesus Christ. And that's where God wants us to be and how God wants us to live. Now, the key for the book of Leviticus, you remember, was holiness, and the key word in the book of Numbers is wanderings. The children of Israel wandered around in the wilderness, in the desert, for 38 years and 10 months, all because they wouldn't believe the Lord. A journey that should have taken 11 days lasted 38 years. And from this we see God's grace, God's holiness, God's long-suffering with His people, as well as His judgment of those who didn't believe. And from this we also see man's weakness, his constant murmuring and complaining, which turns out to be complaining against God, his doubting and forgetting of God's blessings. And all the way through, God was blessing them, and all the way through, they murmured and complained. And when they finally got what they wanted, it wasn't enough. They wanted more. Does that ring any bells? In the celebration of the Jewish Passover, at one point in the supper, the head of the table at the Passover celebration says this, "Lord, if you would just have taken us out of the bondage of Egypt, and we would have been satisfied. But you did more than that. You took us into the wilderness. You provided for us." And all of the guests say, "Yes, we would have been satisfied, but you did much more than that. You protected us and you fed us. You brought us into the promised land, but you did more than that. You delivered us from ourselves." And it goes on and on. But as we read the actual account from Numbers, all they did was complain. They were never satisfied. And we need to start out by asking ourselves the question, are we? Or are we continually complaining as they did? In this book, we see a lot of wandering around because of unbelief and because of disobedience. And what started out as a walk ended up as a wandering. They were supposed to enter the land at Kadesh Barnea, which was only 150 miles from Mount Sinai. Again, should have taken 11 days. It ended up taking almost 39 years. And the truth is that the children of Israel didn't have to do it the hard way, but they did it the hard way because of their unbelief. We Christians don't have to wander around aimlessly in this world. God wants us to enter into His promises and to enjoy His blessings. An entire generation died in the wilderness. Only two of them that were adults when they came out of Egypt made it into the promised land. You know, a lot of Christians are in the wilderness doing it the hard way, and and life seems to be just one complaint after another. It's a pattern that we can fall into. It's what the world does. Now, the book of Numbers in the Hebrew originally was named of the wilderness. That's what it means in Hebrew. The English name Numbers is taken from the Greek Septuagint version of the Bible, where it's actually called arithmai, which is the word for numbers, because there are two censuses taken in the book of Numbers. The first one is in chapter 1. We'll look at that tonight. The second one is in chapter 26, at the end of the 38 years. The Lord numbers his people for war, those that are ready to go into the land. First, all the adult males for war in the second year that they came out of Egypt. And the second one was 38 years later when they were ready to go into the promised land. And some of the tribes, their sizes increased. Some of them got smaller. But as we Christians are in this world, we face what they did. War, battles with giants. Spiritually, our life needs to be prepared. We need to be able to march right through the wilderness of this world and into the promises of God. And we read in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. When we see how things work for them, they'll work for us as well. 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the end of the ages have come. And then in Hebrews 4:11, it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter into the rest, lest any of us fall after the same example of unbelief. So we know that they didn't enter in because the Word of God, though they had that, wasn't mixed with faith. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says that there were nearly 3 million that came out of the wilderness in Egypt, and only 2.1 made it into the Promised Land. But in chapter 1 has to do with the numbering of all the adult males for war. It says in verse 1, now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of meeting. That's the same place that they were at the end of the book of Leviticus. Remember, all of that happened just in 1 month period. On the first day of the second month in the second year after they'd come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male individually, from 20 years old and above, all that are able to go to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Wasn't going to be a volunteer basis. And with you there shall be a man from every tribe, each one the head of his father's house. And these are the names of the men who shall stand with you. From the tribe of Reuben, Eliezer. His name means, my God is a rock. The son of Sedeur. From Simeon, Shemaliel. It means with peace with God. The son of Shushadi. From Judah, Nashon, which means a diviner. It's the son of Aminadab. From Issachar, Nathanael, the gift of God. The son of Jeur. From Zebulun, Eliab, means my God is father. The son of Helon. And the sons of Joseph, from Ephraim, Elishama means my God has heard me. These are great names. The son of Amihad. From Manasseh, Gamaliel, which means my God is a rewarder. The son of Pedasur. From Benjamin, Abadan, my father is judge, that means. The son of Gideon. From Dan, Ahizer means the brother of help. The son of Amishadai. From Asher, Pagiel means an event of God. The son of Orkan. From Gad, Elisaph, God adds to us, it means. The son of Duel. From Naphtali, Ahira, my brother is evil. Well, how'd you like that name? The son of Anan. These were chosen from the congregation, leaders of their fathers' tribes or heads of or princes of the divisions in Israel. Now, to us, these genealogies are, let's be honest, they're boring, but they're significant to God. Because God isn't just interested in the masses. He's interested in the individuals as well. That's one thing we learn by this. But God wanted them to know where they stand. They needed to know which tribe that they belong to. They needed to know what place they had in society. And it's important because it eventually leads to the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And when Christ was here on the earth, none of his enemies, they ever argued with his right to the throne of Israel because they could go into the temple and it was on display. That was never an issue. They could see it for themselves. But an Israelite needed to know his family, his pedigree. He had to know who he was and what he was called to do as a ministry. You know, the same thing's true in the body of Christ. We need to know where we stand. We need to be numbered, as it were, for war, because we're in a battle. The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. And God wants you to know where we stand in our relationship to Him. Are we a part of God's family? See, it's only as many as received Him that He gives the right to become the children of God, 1 John 1:12. And our spiritual genealogy is important. We're told in Galatians 3:29, if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs, according to the promise. And if we don't know where we stand, then how can we be numbered for the war that's coming against us? So there's an important aspect to this. Then verse 17, Moses and Aaron took these men who had been mentioned by name, and they assembled all the congregation together. On the first day of the second month, they recited their ancestry by families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, each one individually. See, the Lord sees us not just corporately, but individually. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. Now the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest sons, their genealogies, by their families, by their fathers' house, according to the number of names, every male individually from 20 years old and above, all who were able to go to war, those that were numbered of the tribe of Reuben were 46,500. By the end of the wanderings in the wilderness, that decreased to 43,730. Look at verse 23. Those who were numbered of the tribe of Simeon were 59,300. That decreased to 22,200. Verse 25. Those that were numbered of the tribe of Gad were 45,650. That decreased to 40,500 after the wanderings in the wilderness. Verse 27, those who were numbered of the tribe of Judah were 74,600. That actually increased. They were the largest tribe, to 76,500. Verse 29, those who were numbered of the tribe of Issachar were 54,400. That increased to 64,300. Those who were numbered of the tribe of Zebulun were 57,400. That increased as well to 60,500. Those who were numbered, verse 33, of the tribe of Ephraim were 40,500. That decreased to 32,500. Verse 35, those who were numbered of the tribe of Manasseh were 32,200. That increased to 52,700. Verse 37, those who were numbered of the tribe of Benjamin were 35,400. That increased to 45,600. Verse 39, those that were numbered of the tribe of Dan were 62,700. That increased to 64,400. Verse 41, those that were numbered of the tribe of Asher were 41,500. That increased as well to 53,400. Verse 43, those that were numbered of the tribe of Naphtali were 53,400. That decreased to 45,400. And in verse 44, these are the ones who were numbered, whom Moses and Aaron numbered with the leaders of Israel, 12 men, each one representing his father's house, all that were numbered of the children of Israel by their father's house from 20 years old and above, all that were able to go to war at Israel, all who were numbered were 603,550. Now, that's a pretty good size army, especially in those days. An army of 40,000 was considered large. And most of the kingdoms that they came against when they came into the land were not expanses, but really what were called then city-states. And for an army of 603,500 men to come against your little city, you were in big trouble. But those are the odds when you're standing with God. No wonder the 10 kings in the land of Canaan got together when they saw the children of Israel coming. Verse 47, but the Levites were not numbered among them by their father's tribe. For the Lord had spoken to Moses, saying, only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor take a census of them among the children of Israel. But you shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, over all of its furnishings, over all the things that belong to it. They shall carry the tabernacle and its furnishings. Every time they picked up and moved, they would do that. They shall attend to it and camp around the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle is to go forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites shall set it up. The outsider who comes near shall be put to death. Only the Levites could handle the things of the tabernacle. Anybody else would be put to death. You know, the picture there, of course, is Christians are to handle the things of God. That's not for unbelievers. It's for God's people. Verse 52, the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, everyone by his own camp, everyone by his own standard or his flag, according to their armies. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, so that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. Thus the children of Israel did, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so they did. God had a different ministry for every person in the camp of Israel, just like he has a different ministry for every single one of us in the body of Christ. And like them, we first of all need to know that we belong to the family of God. That's the first issue that needs to be settled. And then we need to be numbered, as it were, and figure out where it is that we fit into the body of Christ. God was even concerned as to where they camped. Everything was placed in reference to the tabernacle, the place of worship. And the picture, of course, is that's where the Lord dwelt. And he needs to be the center of our lives. It's the place of worship. It needs to be central in our lives. Is that true in your life and in my life, you see? Even how they camped was a picture of that. Now, in chapter 2, it has to do with the positions of the actual tribes in the camp. Look at verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, every one of the children of Israel shall camp by his own standard or flag beside the emblem of his father's house. They shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting, on the east side towards the rising of the sun. Those of the standard of the forces with Judah shall camp according to their armies, and Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be their leader of the children of Judah. Not only did they camp around the presence of the Lord, but worship was the center of their lives. And unless that was true, they wouldn't be able to stand against their enemies. Think about that picture for ourselves. When the Lord is not the center of our lives, when worship is not important to us, then we have no chance against the enemy that's coming against us. Are you winning the battles in your life? Make sure you're in the family of God, number one. Make sure that you're camping where God wants you to camp. Make sure that you've been numbered for war, that you know what your place in the body of Christ is. Every one of those things is important. Now, according to rabbinical tradition, the standard of Judah, the flag, was that of a lion. And the standard of Reuben, the flag was a man. The standard of Ephraim was an ox. And the flag of Dan was an eagle. Those just happen to be representations of the four living creatures that surrounded the throne of God from the book of Ezekiel. It says in Ezekiel 1:10, as for the likeness of their face, each had the face of a man. Each had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had a face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had a face of an eagle. Others have put this together to say that Matthew, the book of Matthew in the gospel, of course, is a lion, the king. Mark is a picture of the servant, which would be the ox. Luke was the son of man, and so a man was the standard, if you want to call it that. And then the gospel of John was all about the deity of Christ, is all about the deity of, so the eagle. And that's an interesting thought as well. And our Lord is all of those things. But notice that they all camp in reference to the tabernacle and to the presence of God, who was the center of their lives. And when they would camp and settle there, then they would set their standard up. And on the east side was Judah, which was the head tribe, with Issachar and Zebulun. We find that in verses 5 and 7. Their combined armies is in verse 9 as well, for a total of 186,400. Now keep that thought. That's the east side. On the south side shall be the standard, this would be a man, of the forces with Reuben according to their armies, and the leader of the children of Reuben shall be Elizur, the son of Shedur, the tribe of Reuben. On the south would have been it to include Simeon and Gad, that's from verses 12 and 14. A total of their combined armies would have been 151,450. Look at verse 18. On the west side shall be the standard, this would be an ox, of the forces with Ephraim, according to their armies, and the leader of the children of Ephraim shall be Elishama, the son of Amahad. So on the west side, you have the tribes of Manasseh, Benjamin, that are camped alongside of Ephraim. That's verses 20 and 22, and their armies combined for a total of 108,100. Then in verse 25, the standard there would have been an eagle for Dan. That's the north side, according to their armies, and the leader of the children shall be with Ahizur, the son of Ammishaddai. And so the tribes on the north side would have been Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. That's verses 27 and 29, and their combined armies totaled 157,600. Now in verse 32, these are the ones who were numbered of the children of Israel by their fathers' houses, all that were numbered according to their armies, and the forces were 603,550. That's the total. But the Levites were not numbered amongst the children of Israel, just as the Lord commanded Moses. And thus the children of Israel did according to all that Moses commanded. So they camped by their standards, and they, when they broke camp, each of his family according to his father's houses. They camped in an orderly fashion. Each family knew where it belonged in that tribe, and that's where it was to camp. Again, we need to make sure where we belong in the body of Christ and that that's what we do. And the truth is, if they weren't organized this way, then they weren't able to go out in war. There was chaos. Where there's not organization, it's chaos. We can't go to war with our enemy if we're not organized. It's chaotic. And so we must make sure that we belong to God, that we've been numbered for war, that we realize we're in a battle, that we realize where our place in the camp is. All of those things become important. Every person in the body of Christ has an appointed place, and our service is to be directed by the center of it all, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He does that through His Spirit. Every one of us has been given gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate in the body of Christ. Now in chapter 3, this has to do with the position and the census of the Levites. Oh, the one thing I didn't mention here is that as you looked at the camp of Israel, in the center was the tabernacle, of course. The Levites camped around that. and then your different tribes with their head tribes and the flag and the different standards on the different corners here. But I understand if you looked at it, according to the numbers, it literally formed a cross from an aerial view. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Now these are the records of Aaron and Moses when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests whom he consecrated to minister as priests. Nadab and Abihu, you remember them? They died before the Lord when they had offered profane fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests under the oversight of Aaron, their father. And then in verse 5, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him, that they may attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting to do the work of the tabernacle. And so the tribe of Levi was given to Aaron, who was the high priest, in order to assist him. You and I in the church have been given to our high priest, Jesus Christ. We're here to assist him. That's the picture for the work of ministry. In verse 8, also they shall attend to all the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting and to the needs of the children of Israel, to the work of the tabernacle. You shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They shall are given entirely to him from among the children of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. But outside, the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. Everyone had their place. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens a womb among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. And on the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified or set apart to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. They shall be mine. And then he tells us why. I am the Lord. When God spared all the firstborn of Israel in the Passover in Egypt, he claimed them for himself, both man and beast. The firstborn belongs to the Lord. But that didn't mean that they were necessarily into the ministry. The firstborn were the ones who were considered the priests of the home to carry on the priestly duties in the household. But they were to be redeemed to show that they belong to the Lord. And so instead of taking the firstborn from each of the tribes, he says, I'm just going to take the entire tribe of Levi instead of the firstborn and make sure that God's getting a fair deal with them. He numbered them off and separated them out here. Here's a question for the picture of the firstborn here is the men. Are you separated to God? And is your family separated to the Lord and dedicated to the Lord, you see? Are we set apart for him? Is he in control of us and our households? Then in verse 14, and then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Israel, the children of Levi by their fathers' houses, by their families. You shall number every male from a month old and above. So Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord, as he was commanded, and these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. And then in verse 23, the families of the Gershonites went to camp behind the tabernacle westward. Remember, we said they all camped around the tabernacle. And these are all the males that were a month old and above. It happened to be 7,500. And their assignment was to take care of the curtains and the coverings and the cords of the tabernacle. That's in verses 24 through 26. And then that family of Kohath, another son of Levi, is counted, and there happens to be 8,600. They're to camp on the south side of the tabernacle, and their assignment is to take care of the articles of furniture within the tabernacle. That's from verses 27 through 32. And then there's a family of Merari. They're counted, and there happens to be 6,200 of them. They're to camp on the north side of the tabernacle. Their assignment is to take care of all the boards and the sockets and the bars and the pillars and all the vessels inside the tabernacle. That's verses 33 through 37. And the tabernacle formed a rectangle in the center of the camp. Another rectangle was formed around that by the camp of the Levites. And then the different tribes set up around that. And the door of the tabernacle, wherever they stopped and camped, the entrance to it always was facing the east. And Aaron and Moses and their families camped on the east of the tabernacle towards the door, always. Look at verse 39. And although all who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord by their families, all the males from a month old and above, were 22,000. Now the census of all the firstborn in Israel, beginning in verse 40. Then the Lord said to Moses, number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and above, and take the number of their names. And you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn amongst the children of Israel. And the livestock of the Levites instead of the firstborn among the livestock of all the children of Israel. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 44, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn amongst the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of their livestock. The Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. And for the redemption of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, who are more than the number of the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels for each one individually. You shall take them in currency of the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel of 20 gerahs, and you shall give the money with which the excess number of them is redeemed to Aaron and his sons. And then sort of an obvious thing, a very simple thing, in verses 49 through 51, basically Moses and Aaron did as the Lord said. And so we can ask ourselves, are we obedient like that? And now chapter 4 has to do with the service of the Levites and the method of which the tabernacle was picked up and transported from place to place. In verse 1 it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi by their families, by their father's houses, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting. So they were to start their ministries as Levites in the service of the Lord, in the service of the tabernacle, at 30 years of age until they were 50. And sort of interesting, that's the year, that's how old Jesus was when he began his public ministry. Ministered for 3.5 years, basically. And this is the service of the sons of Kohath, verse 4, in the tabernacle of meeting, relating to the most holy things, when the camp prepared to journey. Aaron and his sons shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil, the cover, or uncover the ark of the testimony with it. Then they shall put on its covering of badger skins and spread over them a cloth entirely of blue, and they shall insert its poles. There were staves alongside the pieces of furniture where they could pick them up and carry them, but they were to be covered first. So they would wrap them in blue or scarlet cloth, cover them with badger skins, verses 7 through 14. And when Aaron, verse 15, and his sons had finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come and carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. So the only ones that whoever saw the articles that belonged in the Holy of Holies or even the holy place were Aaron and his sons. And they only saw them long enough to cover them. And then they covered them. Once they did, the Kohaths would then carry them from camp to camp. You remember the man Uzzah, who when the Ark of the Covenant was being transported to the city of Jerusalem, the cart started rocking and he touched it to settle it. Didn't go good for him. We need to do things God's way. He has a way of showing us what not to do. But he also has a way to do. We need to do things his way. Look at verse 16. The appointed duty of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, is for the oil, for the light, the sweet incense, the daily grain offering, the anointing oil, the oversight of all the tabernacle, of all that's in it, with the sanctuary and its furnishings. Verse 24, this is the service of the families of the Gershonites in serving and carrying. They shall carry the curtains of the tabernacle of meeting with its coverings, the coverings of badger skin that is on it, the screen for the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the list goes on as to the other things that the Gershonites were to carry. That's in verses 26 through 28. And then verse 29, as for the sons of Merari, you shall number them by their families and by their father's house. And then in verse 31, and this is what they must carry as all their service for the tabernacle of meeting, the boards of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, which formed the frame really to the tabernacle in which the curtains were spread over it and all, and the pillars around the court with their sockets, pegs, and cords. This is the outer court now. It formed the fencing around, if you would, around it, with all their furnishings and all their service, and you shall assign to each man by name the item that he must carry. Moses and Aaron didn't, they knew what needed to be carried. Everybody had what they were supposed to do. All led by God. All directed by God. And of course, the picture here is that we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's His ministry. It's His church. He ought to be giving us direction. And when they traveled, the Shekinah glory of God, His presence, remember it sat over the tabernacle in the daytime as a cloud that sort of covered the people. And if you've been in the wilderness of Sinai, you know it's hot. That's the only way they survived for 38 years in that wilderness. And then whenever that cloud picked up and moved, they would move. Whether they were there a day or 3 years or whatever, they were led by the Holy Spirit. They were led by God. And when the cloud stopped, that's where they camped. Then at night, the cloud turned into a pillar of fire and it warmed them. It was a wonderful provision of God. They traveled, the Shekinah glory would lead them, and the priests would follow with the Ark of the Covenant. The presence of the Lord was always there. And when they got to camp, every person knew what he had to do to set up the tabernacle. The furniture would go down first, and they'd build the tabernacle around those pieces of furniture. It went up in a hurry, each one doing his part. Today, the Lord doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. He dwells in His people. And you can make all the correlations here to that. Everybody had his place. Everybody had his piece of work to do. And you can see very easily, if somebody didn't do their part, then there was chaos. If somebody didn't put the boards and sockets around, and you're carrying the curtains over, what do you hang them from? Everybody had an order and a time and a place, and everybody knew what they were to do. Verse 46, all who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel numbered by their families and their father's houses, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who came to do the work of service and the work of bearing burdens in the tabernacle of meeting. Those who were numbered were 8,580. There were 2,750 from Kohath. There were 2,630 from Gershom and 3,200 from Merari, for the total of 8,580. That's just for the tabernacle to set it up. And then verse 49, according to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, each according to his service and according to the tasks. Thus they were numbered by him as the Lord commanded Moses. Also interesting to note that the first thing that happened when the Shekinah glory of God stopped was they set up the place of worship. Worship's to have that priority in our life. It's the first thing that we need to do. And that was more important to set up the tabernacle than to set up their tents. And what does that tell us? That there's nothing more important than the Lord, that there's nothing more important than worship of God. And then so you put all these things together, and of course we need to know that we're part of the family of God. That's the very first thing. We need to understand that we're numbered for war, that we're going to have battles in this life. The enemy's constantly attacking us from all different directions. Every one of us has a place in the body of Christ. We need to know what that is. Otherwise, there's chaos. And if we're not all doing what we're supposed to do at the time when we're supposed to do it, then the camp is vulnerable to the enemy. Every one of us needs to follow the leading of the Lord. We need to do that individually, but we need to do it corporately as well. And you know, there's something interesting about following the Lord and getting on the same page with the Lord, because when we're on the same page with the Lord, then we're all at the same time on the same page with each other, right? 1,000 pianos all tuned to the same pitchfork, tuning fork, are all as well tuned to each other. Isn't that a wonderful picture? The Lord's in control of this whole thing. And here's something else. God knows our number. He knows us individually. He knows us corporately. He knows the place that He's called us to. He knows what He's gifted us with. And there's a place for every single one of us in the body of Christ to do something. And you can't do better than what God has designed you to do, what God has designed me to do, even if we'd like to. We saw what happened to some of those in the scriptures that wanted to do what Moses did. It didn't bode well for them. They got fired. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, you remember John was taken to heaven. This is what it says. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And we're told that the seven golden lampstands picture the churches, the seven churches in Revelation. And then it says, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. Who is that? It's Jesus Christ. Who's at the center of the camp of Israel? Jesus Christ. Who's at the center of the church represented by the seven golden lampstands? It's the Lord. Jesus Christ is in the midst. And He's never more present in our lives than when we put Him in that rightful place of worship, than when we make Him a priority, than when each one of us is doing what we're supposed to do, than when each one of us is doing our part in the body of Christ, then each one of us is fighting the battle. against the enemy. Paul put it this way as he wrote to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 4:16. He said, from whom the whole body, see, we're the body of Christ on this earth. He's the head. Does everybody understand? He's in heaven. And I suppose we could say that the Holy Spirit is the one making a connection between the body and the head, who's in heaven. And we're joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, what happens when we're all doing what we're supposed to do, it works to join us together. According to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. If every one of us does what we're supposed to do, then we're just getting loved on by each other in all different kinds of ways, by the things that we're called to do, by the gifts that we're given to do those things. It's just a wonderful thing. And when we're doing this, we're like a finely oiled machine, a lean, mean preaching machine or whatever you want to call it. You know, and the enemy doesn't stand a chance. And one of the enemy's tactics is to get us to just get disjointed. You know, I don't want to camp there, you know. I like it over here or whatever. And the whole thing gets fouled up and we're not, and we become vulnerable. There's breaches in the walls. The enemy comes in and just destroys the camp. We're going to tackle 4 chapters a week. And then we're going to get to Deuteronomy. That's going to be wonderful as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the book of Numbers, Lord, for all the things that you're going to show us in this book, Lord. Lord, help us just to take the simple things we've learned tonight and apply them to our lives, Lord. Maybe more important than anything else is that you're at the center. Nothing's more important than your worship, Lord. Putting you in your rightful place. Nothing's more important than your presence in our lives, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for being here tonight. Help us to continually make you the center of everything we do, Lord. Help us not to get out of kilter in respects to that, Lord. And we ask it all, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.